This is VK6 Amateur Radio News with another stay-at-home edition of News West. Today we visit the world of the new amateur. Firstly though, I'd like to wish everyone a happy Easter, and for most of us, it's been an Easter like no other we've ever experienced. In today's lineup, we acknowledge and congratulate those who are new to the hobby or who have simply gained a new callsign. Have you heard any of the stay-home special event callsigns from around the world? A bit more on that later from Chris, VK3QB, and Chris will also talk about QRM Guru and the outcome of the recent survey on the callsign numeric component. And lastly, we repeat the interview of Dan on Curtin Radio. It first went to air a couple of years ago. And the crew this week is Dan, VK6NAD, Vori, VK6X-ray, Victor and myself, Bob, VK6PRP, the producer.
Getting into the hobby of amateur radio is as simple as getting in touch with Ham College, the Northern Corridors Group, the Bunbury Radio Group, or the Peel Amateur Radio Group and getting your foundation licence. To encourage new amateurs on air, we'd like to share with you the people who have gained, upgraded or renewed their licences in this past month. So congratulations goes to Colin, VK6 Fox Alpha Bravo Juliet, Anthony, VK6 Fox Alpha Bravo Kilo, Henry, VK6 Fox Mike Mike Bravo, Matthew, VK6 Fox Alpha Bravo Lima, Mathenus, VK6 Oscar Tango, Nicholas, VK6 Delta Victor, Adam, a VK6 X-ray Romeo, Matthew, VK6 X-ray Uniform, Jishnu, a VK6 Juliet November, Gerard, VK6 Bravo Hotel, Adrian, VK6 Alpha Uniform Charlie, Aaron, VK6 Foxtrot Alpha Kilo Kilo, and Harry, VK6 YBZ, who now also has the call sign VK6 Doc. Delta Oscar Charlie. Well, congratulations to you too, Harry. A few of these are still awaiting payment, so be sure to check your status with the ACMA. For new calls, congratulations on joining amateur radio, and if you're a dab hand, enjoy your new on-air identity. Of course, if you hear these calls on air, please make them feel welcome. In case you're wondering, there are 1,404 amateur licences held in VK6 today.
What a rapidly changing world we're in right now. The rug has been pulled on so many things in our lives, and life is different since COVID-19 entered our lives. So for radio amateurs, especially new amateurs, will the present circumstances create a hiatus or opportunities? Welcome to New Hams the Series, Episode 78, The Virus, Hiatus or Opportunity. I think I've said it before. This coronavirus ought to be exactly what the average amateur thrives on, forced to stay at home, increased opportunity to burrow deeper into the shack and to get on air more often. For a new amateur, this may be a bit daunting because, for some, it's the social interaction that helps you to learn how to get on air successfully. What it means for the newbie, or the recently resurrected amateur, haha, Easter reference, is that you may have to think a bit laterally to get the same amount of help and advice that you might have enjoyed before the current crisis. Sometimes help can be accessed on air, however, something I've noticed is that a question asked of a group of people can return some wildly different responses. No problem there, except that you've got some sorting to do to determine which answer you needed. By all means, seek help on air, but also use internet technology. With such a wide range of audio-visual applications to hand, we have more choices when it comes to helping someone resolve an issue. An example, earlier this year, pre-COVID-19, I was asked to help a couple of guys set up their website for slow scan TV pictures and to configure the software on their computers in order to upload the received images. Both were on the other side of the country. Using Skype, I was able to do both tasks, building their website and setting up their software, using Skype remote control while chatting to each other and explaining what I was doing. So don't give up because the traditional supports are vaporized for the time being. Just get creative about how you access that support, and you never know, you might teach some old dog the new trick of using Skype, Zoom or similar. I'm Bob, VK6POP.
A club meetings for VK6. Well, obviously with current circumstances, we're running a little bit lean on club meetings, but there is some activity. NCRG are in recess with their regular meetings for the moment. However, there is a WAGNet at 10:30 on VK6RLM running after the morning news broadcast. The Radio Amateurs Old Time Club of WA normally meets every second Tuesday, but at the moment that's postponed due to the venue being closed. Prawnheads is suspended for the moment, and HAG won't be running its regular club meetings. However, there is a simplex meeting on the HAG frequency, which is 145.525, which is running, I understand, at 1 p.m. every Saturday. Also, on the same HAG frequency, at 8 p.m. at night, Brock has been running a simplex net, which is well worth joining as well. Now, any other nets that are being held in lieu of club meetings, please advise us so we can add them to the calendar on vk6.net. And I also understand that there may be an AM net starting up shortly. Peter May has been making a little bit of noise about that. So please, Peter, let us know if that occurs. I reckon there'd be a few hams that would enjoy the experience of doing an AM simplex net as something different to do in these times where we're all otherwise cooped up at home. There is one other net running on a regular basis. I don't have the details off the top of my head, but I understand that Peter LB has organised for the VK6RLM repeater to be hooked in with the UK hub most days, I believe, and they are running a net to keep all of the hams stuck at home occupied with something to do. Having listened to it once or twice, I can tell you it's well worth joining.
I've been doing News West for almost 9 years. I took over production from Dennis, VK6KAD, who is Silent Key. Dennis was a stalwart of News West for about 8 years, recording most of it himself and broadcasting it on the linked repeater network, mostly on his own, until he threw in the towel due to ill health in early 2011. Dennis was known for throwing things, sometimes towels, sometimes computers and sometimes anything nearby. Always one for a chat and encouragement, Dennis handed the news reins to me with the understanding that when life went back to normal, he'd pick up and lead on. Plans for hitching up his caravan were well underway when the wheels came off. Not his caravan, off his life. Dennis had been sick with failed kidneys for some time, and he'd just made a decision that he would decline the offer of a kidney transplant. Unfortunately, before his health could level out, Dennis suffered a fatal heart attack during a dialysis session in July of that year, and none of those plans came about. And there was I, with a hastily inherited amateur radio news service. I tried to give the news away to any takers because I didn't want to be seen to be just usurping it. That didn't happen. A few years later, with the support of several people, WA Amateur Radio News was formed as a club to support the ongoing production of News West. And here we are today. Like any club or organisation, WA Amateur Radio News has had its ups and downs. However, News West was produced and put to air every week and continues to do so. So here I am in 2020, and I'm still producing News West, something that I enjoy doing, however. And the however is that after 9 years in the harness, I feel that it's time for me to move along and give someone else the opportunity to climb into the harness and lead the production of News West into the future. I'm unsure of how we'll proceed with my replacement. One can only hope that some sort of ideal person would put their hand up and all will be well. Reality, however, may be quite different, and in early days, I'd be happy to hear from people who may be interested in having a go, with no heavy decisions to be made up front. I don't intend to depart from WA Amateur Radio News. I'd like to continue as a committee member and organise events such as Perth Tech and other ideas that I have, and to do occasional pieces for News West. So for now, I'd prefer a sort of organic process, hoping that those interested will reveal themselves. They may want to begin by making suggestions about how the program might change or improve. But anyway, today is by way of giving notice that the job's coming up vacant, although there's not a lot we can do about it while we're confined to our shacks. But then again, maybe there is. Although meeting interested persons face to face isn't going to happen for some time yet, there are many ways of talking to each other, even, may I dare say it, by radio. So even if you're mildly interested, give me a shout, vk6pop at westnet.com. westnet.com.au. Did you get that? VK6POP at westnet.com.au.
This is VK6ARN.
Hi, this is Chris, VK3QB from the Radio Amateur Society of Australia. This week, news on a special event call sign. The Radio Amateur Society of Australia have been granted the distinctive special event call sign Victor India 2020 Stay Home. That's a VI 2020 Stay Home. We join many other countries in using amateur radio to promote the Stay Home message and encourage everyone to get on air. Our friends from ZL have been granted the use of the ZM Zulu mic prefix for their time in self-isolation. No doubt we'll hear a lot more activity on the bands in the coming weeks. Listen out for us, and we look forward to getting you in the log. For more information, visit our website or qrz.com. This is VI 2020 Stay Home. Next, what's in a call sign? Does the state territory numeric identifier matter? Thanks to those of you who participated in our recent survey. By way of background, the ACMA have recently confirmed that there is no regulatory requirement to change your existing call sign if you move state or territory. For example, a VK8 station could move permanently to VK2 and retain his or her VK8 call sign. Note that when you apply for a new call sign, you will still need to abide by the traditional state and territory-based numeric, e.g. VK1 for the ACT, VK2 for New South Wales, and so forth. Nonetheless, this is certainly a move away from our traditional call sign standards and effectively breaks the link between the numeric ID and the station location. On the basis of this change, we ran a survey asking amateurs to choose between Option 1, we accept the inevitable and remove the connection between the state and territory numeric identifier and the call sign. Or Option 2, amateurs self-regulate and pressure peers to abide by the current system. Well, the results are in. 71% of respondents want us to self-regulate and abide by the current system. For more information, head to our website, vkradioamateurs.org, and read the AR blog. Now on to some news from QRM Guru. We've seen a lot of activity from hams spending time at home trying to locate and eliminate their local QRM. Visits to the QRM.guru website are up 200% in the last week or so. In the last 2 weeks, the QRM net on HF and VKDMR have been well attended with lots of interesting discussion. Topics have included LED lights, mobile noise, noise cancelling, and direction finding antennas. The HF net last week also had good signals from VK6 into VK2 and 3 on 80 metres. Our next net is on the 16th of April at 1000 Zulu on VKDMR Talk Group 5. The following week, the 23rd of April, we'll be back on 80 metres. Listen for us above 3.650 megahertz and up. And don't forget our email support service. If you're struggling with the tools and techniques to locate or eliminate your QRM, send us an email. The email address is feedback@qrm.guru. In the meantime, check out this left field story from Roy, VK3 Golf Bravo. An interesting tale of TVI and BCI he was causing to his neighbours, three houses either side of his QTH. Visit QRM Guru and search on VK3GB. Well, that's it from Rasa and QRM Guru this week. Send us photos and stories of what you've been getting up to during self-isolation, and we'll share them with our readers in the next bulletin. Our contacts can be found on our website. That's vkradioamateurs.org. 7-3.
As you know, each week we run a theme. Next week's theme is contesting. While we will be bringing you news on upcoming contests, we would love to have feedback and experience from stations who are experienced contesters or even very new to contesting and have some valuable experience to share. Contesting is not only a great opportunity to enjoy our hobby and have lots of fun, but it also is a great way to stress test your station and yourself and find out how your workflow could be better, how your station configuration could be improved, how your antennas could be improved. Tell us about it. Give us your experience. It'll be invaluable to others, and especially in these times when who knows what's happening, it's always good for us as a communications hobby to be on top of our game. Now, we don't just talk about contesting, so please, if there are any other newsworthy items that you'd like to contribute, send them through, and we'd love to put them to air for you.
You are listening to News West, VK6 ARN.
Curtain Radio. It's 21 minutes past 1 o'clock here at Curtain Radio, 23.5 degrees outside at the moment. Now, you may have heard the term amateur radio operator or ham radio operator before. They've been known to help out in emergencies. They've been known to speak to people up on the International Space Station. But what exactly is amateur radio? What is ham radio? Well, Daniel Sutton knows answers to all of those questions, and he joins us now. G'day, Daniel.
G'day, Jason. Thank you for that glowing introduction. I'll try and live up to it.
No problem at all. Now, just to describe the difference for me, why are you guys called amateurs? Does that mean that we here at the radio station are professionals?
That's what they tell me.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And I suspect they're correct.
Oh, well, come on. That's a...
he hasn't cut me off yet, so... Jason, the amateur radio is really a hobby of experimentation. So, I mean, we started over 100 years ago.
Wow.
And we started putting things together and sending little cracks of electricity through the airwaves around the world with Morse code. And then we innovated into all sorts of things. So we started voice communication using vowels and all sorts of things. And people often confuse us with CB radio, which is something that...
Yeah, I was going to ask about that.
Yes.
So CB, how does CB radio, I guess, differ to amateur radio?
In a nutshell, the operator is licensed in amateur radio. So we're given a slice of spectrum, which means we're given frequencies from all the way down there to all the way up there.
Right.
With CB radio, you get a radio, and the radio is licensed, not the operator. So you grab hold of that knob on the front, it goes clunk, 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 and you've got preset frequencies, which is great, because anyone can get on there and give it a go. With amateur radio, we just take it a level further, because we can experiment, we can get up to weird and wonderful.
So why do you need to be licensed?
They get a bit toey about people putting out big signals in places they ought not to, like where emergency services or ABC or Curtin FM are operating. And to be fair, our equipment's capable of doing that, so we have to be licensed to use it or they won't let us.
So, as I understand it, part of the licensing requirement, or at least it used to be, that you'd need to learn Morse code to get a license. Is that still the case?
Thankfully not.
Oh, thank goodness.
Back in the 80s, when I first came across amateur radio as a scout, it was, and that put me off.
Yeah.
These days it's not. But funny thing, because I don't have to, now I'm interested in doing
it.
Right. A lot of operators that still use Morse, but we've expanded into so many different things. We do a lot of digital work now. So younger folk who are interested in, say, Arduino and computer interfaces, Raspberry Pis, things like that, we use a lot of that. So we can do cool things like connect our radios up to the telephone line or the internet so somebody can ring us in an emergency and we can patch them through to their loved ones.
Okay, now that's the other thing, because I know that you guys are involved in helping out in emergencies. Tell us a bit more about that, because, you know, it's very interesting when volunteers like yourself can get involved and can do good deeds.
Thank you. In Australia, we've got a pretty stable communication system. So we have amateurs locally, like the Peel Amateur Radio Club, who are involved heavily with SES, and they provide like a layer of additional assistance. In other countries, like the United States, when they get, you know, because they get those cracking storms through there in Texas, I think they had some not so long ago, and it wipes out all the mobile phones, it wipes out all the internet, and what you've got left is all these people who are not only experts at using their equipment, they're licensed, they are self-powered, so they can set up anywhere off a car battery, they can put up an antenna, and they can talk around the world.
Wow. I guess, you know, we've said you don't have to do Morse code anymore, but to get a license, there must be some thing that you need to study or learn.
There is. So locally, we do a lot of training. So there's no age restriction. Anybody can get their amateur license. For instance, scouts, commonly, they get involved in Jamboree, which is where they talk to scouts all around the world. And it's common for scouts who are interested to sit for 2 days and get their license, the foundation license.
Wow.
A lot of adults do it too. That's what I did a year ago. And from there, we've got different levels of license. So if you want to, let's say, put out a TV signal, we actually have access to part of the spectrum that ABC TV used to transmit their analog signal on, and we're allowed to use part of that. And so there are different parts of the spectrum we can do different things. So we can broadcast little pictures around the world, or if you've got the correct license, you can put proper television moving sound, you know, like you get when you turn the TV on.
Is this really a hobby for nerds, Daniel?
Definitely.
I thought you were going to say no, but okay.
No. Look, we have got all sorts. We have got people that drive taxis. We've got people, one of the guys, his day job is repairing things like the Channel 7, 9, 10 transmitters.
Right.
And another guy who's a professor of dentistry. There's all sorts of people, and it's a great evener because you pick up the microphone and you talk to someone who's got a common interest because they love radio. And they might be a kid who's interested in sending files to his mate the other side of the country and wants to do it old school. It's very, you know, these days, records and film photography, amateur radio is right up there. We use valves and
yeah. I often see vehicles like four-wheel drives or caravans with a marking on the side that I understand is their license code.
That's right. So it actually correlates really closely to our postcodes. So we have a postcode in WA that begins with a 6. So our licenses over here all start with Victor Kilo, that's VK, which stands for Australia, and 6, which means we're in Western Australia. Whereas if we were in, let's say, South Australia, it would be Victor Kilo 5. And then you've got a couple of unique letters after that, which mean you. And that is literally your station identifier.
Right. And oftentimes, like on the back of a caravan, they'll say, you know, we're listening on UHF 53 or something like that. Is that amateur radio, or are we back into CB world?
That's CB.
Right.
Pretty handy when you're out and about because, you know, a lot of people on the road have got CB. And that's a wonderful. You'll find most amateurs started with CB and still enjoy playing with CB. We just get a lot of extra things that we can do by. We can talk to astronauts, for instance.
Well, I was. The International Space Station, I know that amateurs, ham operators have talked to them before. Have you ever done such a thing?
I haven't, but there are some guys I hang around with who have, and they actually did it from outside the Alexander Library building in Perth as a public demo of some years ago. And I'm thinking we should do something like that again.
Yeah, I mean, that is a pretty good indication of how powerful this equipment really is.
And strangely, some of it is really low power. We can actually get up to the astronauts on fairly small wattage because there's nothing between us and them.
Yeah, and it's only a couple of hundred kilometres, yeah.
That's right, they're straight up.
So talk to me just for a moment, and I don't want to get too nerdy here, but talk to me about propagation and skipping your signal.
Ah, right. So different bands behave differently. You'd know if you listen to your radio in your car, the old analog radio, that is, that your AM can travel quite a long distance, but maybe the audio quality is not as good as Curtin FM.
Yes.
Which is a much higher frequency, so you get a much better quality, but it doesn't travel as far. Though, I must say, Curtin FM, I'm actually amazed at how far you guys get.
Yes.
So, with some of our old HF, let's call it, which is what people sometimes identify with traditional amateur radio, I can stick a wire up a tree, and if the conditions are right, my signal will go up, it'll bounce off the ionosphere, and it'll land somewhere else. And I can, to some degree, predict where it might go.
Wow.
There's a lot of fun sometimes in finding out where it ended up. So you might key up your mic and call CQ, which basically means I'm seeking you, and you get somebody in Hungary or Russia call you back. And I'm like, oh, wow.
Yeah, what do I do now?
That's right. Oh, I'm going to have something to say. You can also, this is the extremes of the hobby. You can also pick up your smartphone. You can download an app, and it will ask you lots of license information just to make sure that you are allowed to use it. But when you get on there, you can actually connect into networks around the world. So I can jump on my smartphone, and I can key up a transmitter in the United Kingdom, and I can talk to people in Scotland, Wales, and Cornwall all at once on that radio system.
Wow.
And the same applies for Australia and Brazil and all sorts.
My last question for you, Daniel, is it an expensive hobby to become involved with?
It doesn't have to be. It can be. If you've got the budget and you want to spend thousands of dollars, there's some really nice gear out there. Me, I'm a bit of a spendthrift. I use older equipment. And I got on air for about $50, to be honest.
Wow, okay. Now, if somebody was interested, they could perhaps come along to one of your club meetings or something and maybe even buy some second-hand kit.
Anything's possible. What I would do, if people are ready to jot down a web address, while I try and remember what it is, vk6.net.
vk6.net, yeah.
Yeah, if you go there, that's our news service. So we have our own national and local news service that broadcasts every week. If you go to that website, they've got links to all the clubs and training information, all sorts.
There you go. So if you're interested in a radio, or amateur radio, ham radio, vk6.net, and you can get yourself on board. Daniel, thanks so much for talking to us today.
Not a problem. And one last plug.
The Hills
Amateur Radio Group is awesome.
Good on you, Daniel. Thanks.
Cheers,
bye. See you, mate. Daniel Sutton there, and his last little plug. Good on him. Why not?
Just a quick note here. Clinton VK6 Fox Charlie Romeo Charlie tells us that he's broadcasting News West at 9 a.m. and 7 p.m. on Sundays on high definition amateur television in Albany on the frequency 446.5. So if you're around Albany, tune in to see. The frequency again is 446.5. And I've asked Clinton for more information for a future article. And now we move on to the great Roy for Helpline. Here we go, Roy.
Greetings once again, fellow amateurs and shortwave listeners. Helpline 2020 for the 12th of April. It's Easter. Easter with a difference, all locked down, nowhere to go. But we have some information here for you. Alan Tai, VK6ART, is looking for some older working analog equipment to dust off in the back shack. And if you'd like to swap it for some hard ready cash, he's looking for a HF 6-meter transceiver, 10 to 100 watts, and possibly with an ATU to go with that to suit, and also a Kenwood coupler, SWC2-1, as for an SW200 power meter, no doubt. And if you can help Alan with any of that equipment, please call him, VK6ART. His phone number is 0412-955-656. Email address is alphalimaalphanovemberromeotango@ieee.org. Again, it's alphalimaalphanovemberromeotango@indiaechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoechoech your help. Anyone with a 22-volt DC at 22 amps for his rotator is looking for a power supply that would handle 22 volts up to 22 amps. That's a big power supply. And to drive his dish antenna, please contact Keith. His mobile number is 0488-228-088. 0488-228-088. Or email to Keith, that's Kilo Echo India Tango Hotel, at Victor Kilo 6 Echo Mike Echo.com. Next item, Jeff, VK6 Zulu Yankee has for sale a Kenwood Tango Sierra 440 Sierra transceiver with power supply and microphone, $350 for that. There's also a Yaesu Fox Tango 817 transceiver with HF Miracle antenna, and SWR power meter and auto tuner and cables and handbook, asking $385 for the lot. Contact Jeff on his mobile 0414-919-141. 0414-919-141. Next item from Mike. He's now clearing his shack. Transceivers IC706, IC725. And also FM92 transceivers converted to 2 meters. There's automatic antenna, tuner units, rotator, 220 amp power supplies, SWR power meter, dip meter, packet radio equipment, and there's an Amona EAT300 tuner, low pass filters, scanner, heavy duty bases for antennas. Any reasonable prices? If you'd like to contact Mike, any reasonable price on his shack clearance, please contact him on 0402-262-308. Again, that's 0402-262-308. Or email to Sierra Tango Romeo Oscar November Alpha Charlie Hotel, figure number 1, at optusnet.com.au. Again, that's Sierra Tango Romeo Oscar November Alpha Charlie Hotel, figure number 1, at optusnet.com.au. And Barry, VK6 Alpha Delta India, still has a receiver, an all-mode 100kc to 2.6 gigahertz communication receiver, still selling for a friend, and was asking $450. The price has dropped to $450 for this brand new Victor Romeo 5000 all-mode receiver from Yaesu, 100 kilohertz to 2.6 gigahertz. Brand new, still in the box. If you would like to contact Barry for that, please contact him. His number is 0428-959-771. 0428-959-771. Or the email of bravo.juliet.burns@bigpond.com. That's all for this week. For VK6 X-Ray Victor, now clear and closing. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening.
Well, that's it for this week. We'll have some contesting news next week, and as always, your contesting yarns are welcome. Send your stuff to newswest@vk6.net. Thanks to the team this week, and thanks to the guest contributor, Chris, and thanks to the broadcasters for putting us to air, albeit with a bit of chocolate around their chops today. Don't forget to have a listen around the bands for the stay home stations, and while you're at it, why don't you get on air and make some noise yourself? Thank you.